all the way to, no, just joking, this is Sports Talk Chicago's 7th podcast. Hello, everybody, I'm John Zaglul. We have some big news to get to coming out of the Bears organization. That is our cover story. First, I just want to say a few things. I'm sure you're tired of me saying this, but follow us on Twitter at ShyTalkSports. Follow my personal profiles on Google Plus and Instagram. Also, make sure to subscribe. We want subscribers so we can get the news out to you whenever you need it. That's right, just subscribe on that little sidebar there on the website, and anytime a post is updated or we have a new post up, it'll send you the link right in your email. So our big cover story of the day is Jared Allen coming here to Chicago. It's been quite a story. I'm surprised because, again, many experts and analysts were saying that Allen wasn't going to be coming here. They said he was going to either re-sign with Minnesota or, you know, go to another team. They never actually specifically mentioned the Bears, yet after releasing Julius Peppers about 2 weeks ago, they have gotten somebody who's actually a little bit better in return. Now, the actual monetary amount of the deal was undisclosed, but Allen signed a 4-year deal. He's 6'6", 265 pounds. In 10 seasons in the NFL, he's recorded 128.5 sacks. So this guy is the real deal. And, you know, I remember I always used to watch him. I always used to love him. He was always a favorite player of mine. I always used to hate it, though, when he'd come face the Bears. Man, he'd get 3-4 sacks a game coming here. Now he's actually on our side, so I'm happy to hear that. Keep in mind, he led the NFL in sacks in 2007 and 2011 when he recorded 22, just a half sack shy of Michael Strahan's single season record. See, again, right here, that total included 3.5 sacks of Bears quarterback Josh McCown in the season finale. He's a 5-time Pro Bowler. He has been voted first team All-Pro 4 times, and he's averaged 14.5 sacks over the past 7 years. This guy is the real deal, man. I mean, last year, 11.5 sacks, 13 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles. This guy is durable. He started 16 games each of the past 6 years, and he's never played less than 14 games in any season since entering the NFL. He's going to be 32 on April 3rd. So, you know, he is getting old. This, like I was saying, you know, this will probably be his actually, you know, his last contract ever in the NFL. But I'm happy that he'll possibly be ending his career here in Chicago. I'm very excited to see him, you know, play. And when I go to training camp, I'll be sure to look for him. I'm so excited to also, you know, see him starting to work for us, you know. You always saw him work for Minnesota. He was a workhorse. He sacked everybody. Like I was saying, he sacked McGowan 3.5 times in one game. Now, he'll be doing that to McGowan maybe in Tampa. He'll be doing it all over the place for the Bears. So it's always nice to see that. I'm very ecstatic and excited to see him play. And, you know, hopefully, or actually not even hopefully, he probably will be a great upgrade from Peppers, who really had a down season last year. So anyway, if you have any more comments on that, you can always email me info@sportstalkchicago.com or comment right here on this post. Some other Bears news briefly here, or actually just football news. The NFL puts a new spin on replay reviews. During their annual meetings in Orlando, NFL owners passed a proposal allowing referees to consult with an officiating department in New York. So almost, if you recall, like the way Major League Baseball is going to be doing replays now, instead of the umpires actually looking at a play, they're going to be consulting with the main control center in New York for that is the headquarters of MLB Advanced Media, and I guess this is what they are proposing now in the NFL. The referees will continue to be responsible for making the final ruling and will only reverse the call if there is indisputable visual evidence. But the league's hopes that consulting with the Command Center in New York will help improve the consistency and accuracy of replay decisions, and it will shorten the time for a review, which is a maximum of 60 seconds. So, you know, something new. Also, one more thing regarding referees. This year, it will be illegal for football players to actually throw the ball through the goalpost on a touchdown. You may recall, like, some players, including Tony Gonzalez, when they score a touchdown, they sort of shoot it through the the goalpost there, like as a celebratory gesture. That will be no more. There will be a celebration penalty now for anybody who does that. So, you know, everybody likes to call the NFL the No Fun League, and you know what I mean? It sort of showed right there. We're going to move on now to some Chicago Cubs news. Keep in mind, opening day this Monday. Now, the Cubs currently in spring training, 12-17, so not doing really well. They lost yesterday, or no, actually, they tied yesterday with San Diego. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be a tough year for them. Now, I'm supposed to be doing an article about the Cubs team preview, so that you make sure to check by Friday, that should be up. But, I mean, I'm predicting the Cubs, completely honest here, I'm predicting a 65-70 win season. It's not going to be a good year this year, and you know what, it's just, that's how it's going to be. This year is not the year. 2015, as I have repeated many times in the past, I'm sure you're tired of me saying this, but this is the year, 2015. I have some news about a couple Cactus League games. The Cubs' ninth inning rally forces a draw in the nightcap. So with a little help from a late Padres miscue, the Cubs rallied to force a 5-5 tie in at the Peoria Sports Complex there in Arizona. They were trailing by two runs with one out in the ninth. An error charged to Padres second baseman Clint Moore and Javier Baez's high pop-up allowed Emilio Bonifacio and Justin Geiger to score the game-winning runs. C.J. Edwards, the number four prospect in the Cubs organization, got the start, allowed three runs on four hits with three walks and one strikeout in 2 2/3 innings. So, I mean, you know what? They're not going to be a good team. As I've said before, you know, they're relying on errors to win Cactus League games. You know what I'm saying? And that's just not going to translate. I remember last year, if you could recall, the Cubs went 2-1. They beat the Pirates. They won the series there. And I thought, you know, things were changing for the better. But I don't think that it certainly didn't happen last year. And I'm starting to doubt if it's going to happen this year. And I truly doubt it. Junior Lake, though, has a big power surge, and it continues in the loss to Anaheim. Ian Stewart hit a leadoff homer. Colin Cowgill had an RBI double. Sean O'Malley smacked a tie-breaking RBI to lift the Angels to an 8-4 win. Hey, Ian Stewart, if you remember, he was on the Cubs last year. Keep in mind, Junior Lake, as I was saying already, he had a home run yesterday. He had three home runs the day before. That's four home runs in two games. So congratulations to him. Hopefully that'll carry on into this season. Nothing much about the Cubs anymore. One other quick note, though. Starlin Castro is supposed to be ready for the start of the season, according to many. Or according to experts and according to the Cubs organization, Rick Renteria, they're all saying that he should be ready despite that hamstring injury. Well, we're moving on now, moving on to the Chicago White Sox. Again, they do also open up here in the city in Chicago, March 31st, while the Cubs are away in Pittsburgh. So right now, here's what the latest headlines, storylines are from Sox camp. Now, here's a little bit of a big storyline here. The White Sox have split up their left-handed and right-handed starters according to the initial rotation. So, Felipe Paulino will follow Chris Sale to the mound next Wednesday. Jose Quintana completes the first homestand on Thursday against the Twins. Eric Johnson and John Danks are set to work the first two games in Kansas City, giving the Sox one full turn. So, they're going to rotate, or the rotation is actually going to set... going to be set to alternate the left-handed and right-handed pitchers. So, I mean, I think that's pretty unique. I've never really heard of that before, but you know what? It could always help. If you did look at my team preview for the White Sox, I am happy to say that that was up and running. I'm predicting a good year for them. Now, on the other hand, you know, they're a lot opposite from the Cubs. They have some good things going for them. They have the same good, you know, young nucleus that they had 2 years ago. And remember, they made that run for the Central Division and came up just a tad short. They ended up being three games out by the end of the year. But they truly are a good team, and I'm very excited to see what they do this year. Like I said, I'm predicting an 89-win season. Will they make it to the wild card with that? Who knows? You know what I'm saying? I mean... you know, the AL West is going to be good this year. You've got Texas, you've got Oakland, you've got Seattle, you've got Los Angeles. Every one of those teams are going to be good except Houston. Then you've got the AL East, and then you've got there, you know, the Orioles who made some big moves, the Blue Jays making moves, Yankees, Red Sox, Rays. So, I mean, it's going to be very, very tough for the Sox to actually make it in this year. Nevertheless, though, I'm expecting a good year, a winning season here for the White Sox, as I said just before. You know, like I said, 89, 90 wins this year. So, hopefully, they'll come through with that, and my prediction, you know, will be correct. The Sox in spring training, 8-13 this year. They just lost 4-1 to Colorado yesterday. Today, they are facing the Reds at Camelback Ranch, so make sure to tune into that. And tomorrow, Sox and Cubs, 2:05 Central Time there at Cubs Park. Not much more on the White Sox. I'm pretty much briefly, but one other thing, though, just wanted to say the Sox, remember, opening day against the Twins. That's going to be at home on March 31st. That game will be on Comcast Sportsnet. The Cubs will be on WGN, and again, they will be away in Pittsburgh. So now, it's all time for the Chicago Bulls, and remember, they are competing for that third spot in the Eastern Conference. Right now, they are apparently tied with Toronto, with only a couple games to go. Now, I don't know if you can recall this, the Bulls beating Indiana by 12 2 days ago. If you look at the 2013 playoff picture, keep in mind, only 23 days till the 2014 playoffs began. I'm so excited. The Bulls actually contain now that number 3 seed. I'll give you the standings as of today. Let me see here. Now, the Bulls have that lead by a half a game. They are 40-31, Toronto 39-31. And the Bulls, keep in mind, they are out of the number 1 seed by 11 games. They're out of that number 2 seed by 9. So, I mean, it's going to be hard for them to catch up to there. But if the Bulls could get that number 3 seed, that'll be big for them. If the playoffs started today, they'd be facing Washington. So, really, I mean, that is going to be crucial for the Bulls because when you look at the maybe 6 through 8 seeds here in the East, they're not that good of competition. You got Washington at 6, Charlotte Bobcats at 7, and Atlanta Hawks, who are 31-38 as the 8th seed. Now, the Bulls, as far as headlines go, not too much, but I do have one little note regarding the Bulls. Keep in mind, the new power rankings just released for this week, and they actually are in 7th. So, I mean, congratulations to the Bulls. You know, Derrick Rose has been out basically the entire season. They're actually doing worse with them. They've really, you know, rebounded without him, and they're doing well without him. So, I just want to say congratulations, and hopefully they can even hop up even more next week. Finally here, we have some Chicago Blackhawks news. We all know the Hawks racing towards the end of the year now for that top spot in the Western Conference. I don't know if they're going to reach it, but they are making it look very close. Now, first of all, the Hawks won yesterday 4-2 over the Dallas Stars. But now as we look at the conference standings here, the Hawks, they're 6 points out at 99, and they are just behind Anaheim there for that number three spot. The Hawks 42, 16, and 15, 99 points. Anaheim has only 7 overtime losses and the same points, so they're on top. San Jose at 103 points, number 2. And the Blues, having just a historical year, they have 105 points. So at least the Hawks will get a chance to actually defend the Stanley Cup title. Whether they end up getting that number 1 seed or not, though, is questionable. And will that happen? I am not entirely sure. Now, last night, Duncan Keith scored a goal. Andrew Shaw, Chris Versteeg, along with Marian Hossa, all 4 of them scoring goals for the Hawks to win. 1 star to Duncan Keith, 2 stars to Andrew Shaw. So good for them. That was a big win for them. The Stars, remember, they're battling for that number 8 spot. They're currently 9th, just 3 points away from the Phoenix Coyotes. As far as Hawks news goes, there really isn't too much, you know, really, except one other thing. Teravainen, I'm sure you've all heard about that guy. Tuivo Teravainen, that's the Hawks guy who, 19 years old, debuted last night with the Hawks, did well. You know, he did very well. Remember, he's from Finland, And it just, you know, it marvels me that a 19-year-old is playing professional hockey. So I just want to give him a shout-out. Hopefully, he'll be there for years to come. You know, hopefully he'll be the next Patrick Kane or the next Jonathan Toews. So, just nice to see that. It's always nice to see something like that. Finally, actually, sorry about the first finally, there's going to be one more. March Madness. Now, I don't know who's been filling out their brackets. As I wrote that article beforehand, you know, it's not all about the brackets to me, but we sort of have to talk about it. It's March Madness tradition. My bracket right now, 37% correct. In the first round, obviously, I'm sure many got that Ohio State and Dayton match wrong. I also got New Mexico wrong. I picked BCU. They lost. Harvard, I didn't even see that one coming. But they won, so I was pretty disappointed. I picked Oklahoma State to beat Gonzaga. That didn't happen. I picked Oklahoma to beat North Dakota State. So those were all wrong. And, you know, I picked Kansas State to win. They lost. So, I mean, you know, it's always tough. It's tough to predict a perfect bracket. But right now, currently in the Sweet 16, I know there are supposed to be games on when? Tonight or something like that? Tomorrow there are going to be games on, starting with Florida and UCLA, Dayton and Stanford. A quick hint here, I picked Florida to win it all, so we'll see if that hope comes through, or comes true, rather. And keep in mind, Dayton and Stanford facing each other. Can you believe that a number 10 seed or higher will actually be in the Elite Eight? So historic stuff this year. It's crazy. We're going to move on now to our weird or odd sports story of the day. Now here's a real weird one coming out of Australia. I'm sure you remembered Michael Vick was signed by the Jets very recently. One fan was angered, so she expressed her disgust by posting a message on the club's Facebook page. She said, "How can you people live with yourself signing Michael Vick after what he did and is still doing to dogs you have any soul at all?" However, instead of venting her fury at the NFL outfit, she inadvertently let rip at the Newcastle Jets, an Australian football team. That team took to their credit. They took the abuse with good humor before explaining the angry fan's error. So, you know, funny stuff out there in the world of sports. We're going to move on now to our punchline of the day segment. Now, this joke is pretty funny. It comes from the NCAA, like almost March Madness basketball players. Here's the question. How many NCAA basketball players does it take to change a light bulb? Only one, but he gets money, a car, and 3 credit hours for it. Of course, that is referring to a lot of the money and bribes taken by all those college basketball players. A humorous spot, though. A humorous way to portray that. We're going to move on now to our highly famous announcer's call of the day segment. Very excited about this one here today. Now, let me set the mood here for you. 1993 World Series. It's Game 6. It's Blue Jays Phillies. Keep in mind now, Joe Carter strides up to the plate. He got 2 runners on. Remember, a home run will actually win the entire World Series here for Toronto. Mitch Williams pitching. So, no more waiting, you know. Let's hear what happens.
At his moments, 2 balls and 2 strikes on it. Here's a pitch on the way, a swing and a belt, left field, way back, Blue Jays win! The Blue Jays are World Series champions as Joe Carter hits a 3-run home run in the 9th inning, and the Blue Jays have repeated as World Series champions. Touch them all, Joe, you'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
Man, what a game, and I've seen highlights of that over and over again. What a call, what a hit, just everything was perfect right there. So that'll be it today for Sports Talk Chicago, or at least for this week. We'll see you next week. You'll probably hear my voice again for the Saturday Night Special on Saturday. I just wanted to apologize for last week. We were on break a little bit last week. It was very hectic. We couldn't really get too much done on the site. But this week, we are coming back readier than ever. And keep in mind, we already have those 2 articles up. Make sure to view them. Make sure to view this. And tomorrow, or at least Friday, we should have that team preview up regarding the 2014 Chicago Cubs. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I truly appreciate it, as always. Remember, follow us on Twitter And follow me on Google Plus and Instagram. Try and subscribe to the site. We love it. We love it. We already have 2 now subscribers, so the number's growing. And I just wanted to say one more thing. Thank you, everybody who views the site. We've improved views this month and every month since November, from 28 views in November, 68 in December, 117 in January, 376 here in February, and in March, as of right now, we have just over 400. So thank you, everybody, for viewing, and keep in mind, 5 more views till we have 1,000 overall. Well, that'll be it for me. I'm John Zagluel, and this is Sports Talk Chicago.